Fucking shit. Trades. Signings. Unretirements. Chaos. Off-season chaos. That's right. This is NFL Straya. It's an emergency, out of nowhere, off-season show. Love it. I'm your co-host, James Clements. I'm a writer, Shem Times. For whom Steffa wants to pay me that sweet, sweet beer money. Smashing some kaijus today. Fucking loving this. Here in Larry Armour Studios. Actually, in a hoodie. Got a bit cold tonight, guys. I don't know what happened. Either way, on the other side of this, our iPad, it's a bloke celebrating his wedding nuptials by never going on a proper honeymoon. You got to appreciate that. But he does have a whole new set of Packers gear on the way. Now that his best mate Aaron Rodgers has re-signed. It's sometime singer to call in a band called the Ramshackle Army. He's my mate. He's your mate. He's a mate. He's about to be very shit-faced because it is St. Patrick's Day tomorrow. He plays in the Celtic Bunk Band. It's Gaz. Gaz, what's going on?
Jesus. Jimmy. I was looking forward to all of the things that have to happen this weekend. This week. I'm going over to Amsterdam. I'm going away for 2 weeks. I'm like, I don't have to think about the NFL. Oh, I'll watch a bit of, you know, free agency, and then, but then I'll, when I come back, and then St. Patrick's Day this week, this is my focus, getting drunk and smashing whiskeys and all this sort of stuff, and then you send me a fucking message going, oh, we should probably do an emergency podcast, and here I fucking am, Jim. What is going on?
Absolute chaos. That's what's going on, and it's kind of awesome, like, free agency's popping off, but I mean, that's it, like, this show is just going to be a quick one today. We'll try to figure out what the utter shit is actually just going on. Because there's actually so much stuff going on. It's kind of like, it's hard to get a handle on it. We'll just lay it out real quick. Give our take. Think about it a little bit. And that's all we're going to do. We'll wrap it up as best we can. That's what we always do. We always rap shit.
That's it.
Just do a good rap. That's what we love, a good rap. And we do it in a dumb, drunken NFL Australia package. I tell you what, getting on these kaijus is getting pretty fucking hairy pretty quickly. Either way, let's get into it, Gaz. This is episode 49 of NFL Australia.
Let's do it.
Let's go. I've been broken.
Yeah, Giselle, I get it. I was just going to go out and see the boy. Ah, goddammit, I stepped on another fucking Lego. These fucking kids, man. Fuck this. Just fuck this shit. I'm going back to work. Fuck this. Oh, hey, this is Tom Brady, and you're listening to NFL Australia. All right, guys. Oh, jeez. Did you see this coming? So, look.
I'm just tired already, Jimmy.
It's just a lot has happened. So, look, just to lay this out real quick. The chaos is just all popped off, right? So, if you take it back, basically, we've gone a month without doing a show after the Super Bowl wrap, where we got, you know, one of us got more shit-faced than the other on a great Super Bowl. It was great, but we did an awesome wrap show. It was really fun. And yep. Little did we know that in a month's time, we'd be sitting here going, well, Russell Wilson is a Bronco. That seems fine. You're like, well, look, he might have gotten traded. Off we go. It felt very much like he became a Bronco because Aaron Rodgers decided, fuck it, I'm staying in Green Bay. Chucked all his toys out of the cot, settled himself with a couple of, what, 3 years worth of $50 million a year. Off he goes. Carson Wentz is suddenly being sent down the turnpike. Nowhere. Off he goes. Back into the NFC East, which is hilarious. And then, of course, it's all capped off by my beloved Tom fucking Brady. Just going, I've done like 5 school drop-offs. This fucking sucks. I'm going back to work. I can't deal with this. Not at least for another 2 years. And then we've got the Deshaun Watson escaping criminal charges from the grand jury. You've got Baker having a sook today. And free agency popped off, what, literally, what, 36 hours ago, essentially. And yeah. You've got the pre-tampering period where you're trying to get all this sort of weird ducks in a row. And now free agency is in full swing. And
well, it's just called going to nightclubs, Jimmy. Pre-tampering period.
Pre-tampering period. The pre-fiddling period is how it goes. So now we're like right in the nuts and guts of it. So I don't know. Did you expect this? Basically, just before we get into the run-throughing of everything, did you expect this level of just fucking chaos, like out, like right out of the gate? What do you reckon?
Dude, just think about the last 12 months. And how much conversation you and I have had on this fucking podcast about Carson Wentz after he left the Eagles and Tom Brady at the Bucks returning. I thought I'd escaped both of those things coming into this season. And Carson ends up back in the East, just validating everything that Howie shipped him off for. And questioning Frankie Reich and the direction of the Colts. And then Tom's just gone, oh yeah, nah, I'll give it another run around. Like, it's just amazing. Like, that's just the quarterback element of it, right? Then we've still got... we're going to touch back on what everybody else.
Like, the quarterback moves alone are fucking insane, right? Like, it's awesome.
And more to come, right? Still more to come. Yeah, and we get into all of that later. I won't jump around a bit. But, mate, it's just... I know it happens every year that there's just crazy moves at this time, but it just feels like there's just so much on the table, like franchise changing. If you look at something like the Colts, who were a playoff contender who just needed someone to like replace Rivers, and then all of a sudden they literally have no answer at quarterback now, right? If you look at the Seahawks, who were, it was pretty much one or done, right? Like it's the rebuild. Well, we now know what they're heading towards. So yeah, it's fucking crazy, some of these moves.
I'm not convinced that the Colts seeing Andrew Luck out there on the field with Robert Griffin, they didn't just go, oh God, Frank, can you just go have a chat to Andy and just see if he wants to, like, you know, sling the ball around a little bit. What do you reckon?
Yeah, one more time.
Right. So this all pops off. So let's run through it all. We'll talk about everything a little bit, whatever. Whatever's going to interest the most, we'll talk about it the most. It feels like Aaron Rodgers kind of kicked all this a little bit off, right?
Yep.
Goes back to Green Bay, and within 2 hours, Russell Wilson was traded to Denver. It's like, well, Aaron Rodgers has told us to fuck off. We better pull the trigger on the trade to Denver and get what we can right fucking now, say Seattle. And also Denver just going, fuck it, we're going to get rusty because this Drew Lock situation is fucked. So the initial reports from Aaron Rodgers, right, it was like a 4-year, $200 million deal. And he's just like, bro, I haven't even sent a contract yet. Shut up. Like, how can you be reporting something that doesn't literally exist yet? And essentially it turns into a 3-year, $150 million deal with some insane numbers, right? Like, I don't know if you broke it down or you saw it, but it's like $42 million next year or something, right? And 40-something mil of that is a signing bonus, which is just cap shenanigans. but then the second year of it is like $59 million for that one second year, and then there's a couple of like voidable years after that and stuff. But essentially, 3-year, $150 million deal where it feels very much like Rodgers has sort of sat down and going, no, look, at least 2 more years with you guys, pay me a fuck ton of money. And they're like,
yeah,
all right, that seems fair. The point is also, though, what's his mate doing, Gaz?
Mate, it's I'm gonna follow Devontae Adams. I'm gonna follow him. I gotta see what my contract situation is. I'm gonna let it play out, and then if he fucks off to Denver, maybe they need a receiver as well. And then all of a sudden, Aaron signs on, and the Packers go, "Oh, we're gonna franchise you." And he goes, "No fucking chance.
I'm not gonna sign.
I'm not gonna take the average of the top five at my position." Particularly when the Jags made the move that they just fucking made, which we get to in a second. But old mate's just going to hold out and earn a shit ton. The entire wide receiver market's just been flipped on its head. So why would Devontae just run out and accept a franchise tag when he's clearly top, you know, 2 or 3 at the moment?
So it felt
live
like
it up, mate.
This is Rodgers going, yeah, cool, I'm staying, but you got to pay Devontae Adams. You got to pay Mason Crosby.
Done. Yeah.
Off we go, and they probably will. So that happens.
But also, he played that. We know, we said it all the way through the season, right? He's played the media fucking perfectly. There was all the threats. There was all the threats about, yeah. Oh, mate, like in terms of from a contract point of view, obviously his Joe Rogan experience. From his contract experience point of view, he won what he needed to. He came out and said what he did. He left the door open to people like the Broncos turning the screws, and clearly they were all in, because as you said, within hours they had that kind of backup
the same
plan.
Package that would have gone to
exactly
Grand Bay, right?
Yeah. exactly
But yeah, so I mean, that's the Green Bay one, and then you touched on the Rusty one. I find the Rusty one, it, like, just exponentially more fascinating.
Right? But yeah, like, because
it's fucking out of control what has happened between those two teams.
Two first rounders, two second rounders, a fifth rounder, Drew Locke, Noah Fant, which is pretty fascinating.
I found that interesting, yeah, yeah.
And Shelby Harris, which is, they didn't get Patrick Surtain out of it, which is like, all right, cool. That's seems smart, I guess, if you're Denver to keep as
no
many
way.
Players as you can, considering you're already giving up a fair amount here. And the big question I sort of come out of this is going, all right, sick. You've now got Russell Wilson. Are we sure he's that fucking good at the moment, though? Like, has he risen out of the mire and the muck with Seattle to, like, sufficient heights where you're like, well, that seems like a good idea. Like, I have always appreciated Russell Wilson, think he's fucking amazing. A bit too much of the, I don't know, pontification kind of coming from him at a lot of the times. A little bit too squeaky clean. Definitely feels like that, you know, might just randomly kill a drifter one day just for the thrill. That kind of vibe out of Russell Wilson. Yeah. But at the same time, like, he's fucking way better than any quarterback they've had since fucking Peyton Manning.
Oh, fucking oath.
Like, holy shit. So pull the trigger. This is their Stafford move, right? It's the exact same shit.
Exactly, yeah. There was some really interesting stuff that comes out, particularly from The Athletic. As soon as these big deals come out, you just kind of see them go, oh, yeah, by the way, we knew all this was ticking along in the background. Whack. Right? So, obviously...
That's why people don't trust journalists, you see, guys. It's like, oh, well, we didn't report this because we didn't want to burn our bridges. Like, just fucking say it, you dickheads.
You're just
aspect of sports journalism.
Exactly. So, heard that Washington had quite a big offer on the table, but Seattle didn't want to keep Rusty in the NFC. Then you hear the stories come out about the background.
Which, by the way, is hilarious. Like, you're not going to be in a position to be, like, challenging Washington with Russell for years now. Like, just settle fucking down, bro. What is your plan? Oh, nah, we're rebuilding. We'll be good next year, bro. No, you're not.
Nah,
just
man.
Settle down.
Nah. Yeah, so there was obviously that element of we need to prove ourselves. Like, it's basically get to the playoffs, get deep into the playoffs to prove that we don't need a rebuild. Because Pete Carroll's getting fucking up there, right?
Yeah.
So that's the element of it. Like, I can't see them drafting a quarterback. It may buy him a year. But if they don't, you know, perform this year and it's a full rebuild, surely Pete Carroll's not going to go, yeah, I can stick around for that.
Fuck no. Right?
After the success that he had in, it's like, you just can't see him doing it.
He's like literally just sitting there going, well, if Sean Payton doesn't get the Dallas job when Mike McCarthy inevitably gets it in the neck, like, I'll just go down to Dallas, like, in 2 years' time and fuck this noise.
If there's anyone left in Dallas the way that this free agency's gone.
True.
But the other thing is around the moves that Seattle's made in that meantime, right? They'd already overpaid for one fucking safety. Then they get Quandre Diggs for $40 million. So I believe that's something like $100 million in contracts for the safety position on a team with Drew Locke as your fucking passer. Then obviously they got Noah Fant, which is, that's a good move. But then they go and give, was it an $8 million or to Disley? Who's a blocking tight end.
Will Disley, yeah.
Will Disley, like, blocking tight end. Who, a couple hundred yards? Like, what the fuck, man? Right, like, anyway, I'm head scratching by those moves. And obviously, the other obvious one in the card there, the one last member of the Legion of Boom, like Bobby Wagner, got cut.
Was released. And it was like one of those weird moments where it felt like even he was shocked by it. Like, people around the NFL, like, wait, fucking hang on.
Came out and said after 10 years or whatever, he found out on social media without being told, which is kind of, it always weirds me out when that happens. I just don't understand why you go and, you know, just let a guy like that go, who is the personality of your defense and has been for a long time, but then go spend so much money on the safety position.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, blows my mind. Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's all weird cap shit. It's going to be coach shit. It's just going to be weird shit like that where you go, it's Bobby fucking Wagner. Like, the dude's a weapon. The same time, like, you look at, I just feel like something fucky has been going on in Seattle for years now because they've got a shit ton of blue chippers, right? Like, a lot of big fucking names.
Yeah.
Bunch of talent, and none of it's mattered. Like,
yeah.
So here we are. Yep. So they basically have had to press reset, and that's what they've done. Pressing reset. The Colts send Carson Wentz to Washington, third rounder for 2022 and one for 2023. That doesn't seem like much there, Gaz. Doesn't seem like match, you know? Just saying.
It fucking spun me out. So, look, there's obviously been a lot busted around like this online. Comments from Colts fans, comments from Washington fans. And an unsurprising turn of events, Jimmy. Eagles fans have got a bit to say as well. I might be fucking one of them. But what does it say to you? Like, there was all of the... it's definitely put things to bed in the Eagles camp, and we'll, you know, I think we touched on it a little bit more later. But it wasn't just so much about, clearly, the 1 year of being a disappointment. Because, realistically, apart from some fucked up shit and some really stupid interceptions, and obviously the killer game against the Jags that everyone remembers...
Yep.
He had a 27-7 touchdown to interception ratio, right? Like, he actually played okay, not 2017, Carson, which just tells you there's a whole, like you were saying, there's cap shit, there's coach shit, and then there's all of the stories that are starting to come around, which I think we'll touch on a little bit more later, where it's the personality. But you're right, it isn't a lot to give up, but if he does fuck all, 2/3 is a lot to give up. But if he works out, then Washington, Ron Rivera is going to look, well, not Ron's going to look like a genius for fixing him. But yeah, it's a tough world.
The craziest part is, I mean, yeah, the point that he's been traded before the first rounder that the Colts gave up for him has been used is just chaos. Yeah. Like, just the simple idea of like, yeah, there's like a sunk cost, and then there's like a sunk cost to a degree where the cost that you've paid has not even been used yet. And you're trying to recoup like a third. Like, he's like, well, this is fucked. What have you done? That's horrifying. Yeah. I love it.
And no options. This is the thing, right? They have no first rounder to spend on a quarterback this year in a weak quarterback class. They've got no collateral to go and chase someone in
go get Jimmy G if you've got fuck all to give up for him, right? Like, it's
they sniffed around the stories that came out today or yesterday was they sniffed around Deshaun Watson, and they just went, and the Texans went, no fucking chance we're giving him to the Colts. Not that they could afford him.
Yeah, in division rival as well. Fuck that. Yeah, no,
yeah, yeah, that's it. There was no chance. But not that they have any fucking collateral to spend anyway. Oh, I'll give you the 2/3 we just got off Washington. And look, but there's some low price options that they're going to have to go out and investigate, like, you know, Mariota.
Yep.
We got a backup out there in Gardner Minshew who would do a good job at the Colts, which would be only, like, it would just be so much more hilarious, because 2 years ago we were talking about how Frankie Reich went over to a much more, like, less drama-filled organization and was just going to take that extra step and all that sort of stuff. And then if the Eagles end up fleecing him for Carson and then Minshew 2 years back to back, that would be fucking nuts.
The crazy thing is, like, I love it because it, like, fuck the Colts, like, forever and ever and ever. Their bullshit Deflategate shit, Peyton Manning being rated above Tom Brady for so fucking long despite being, you know, demolished by him every time they fucking played. They've been a mess, like, ever since Andrew Luck left. Like, it's just fucking crazy and sucked in. That's what you get. That's like, it's reverse karma for Deflategate, I swear to fucking God. That's how I look at it. It's like, oh, miss, these guys are deflating balls. It's like, prove it. Ah, oh, we saw a guy. It's like, oh, it felt weird. It's like, shut up, idiots. Boom, karma came for your ass.
It's also weird. It also brings this weird, I know I bring everything back to the fucking Eagles, but the whole Howie Roseman thing about the making the joke about the quarterback factory and how much it's like fucking tongue-in-cheek and all that. But when you look at how bad Howie's been at drafting, But then flip it on its head and work it out how good he's been about trading away quarterbacks. So we got a second round draft pick for Donovan McNabb once we knew he was past it and he had shit records at the Redskins back then and then the Vikes. We got a first round pick for Sammy Sleeves, Sam Bradford, if you remember. we traded away Kevin Cobb, like guys who were just not going to make it. We've always managed to turn into draft picks. So while we had to eat whatever it was, 53 mil worth of cap for Carson, walked away with a first rounder. So, and he didn't even make it, you know, into a second season with the team we gave him to. So
nice. Other shit
anyway,
that happened.
Move it on.
Yeah, other shit that happened before free agency, the Khalil Mack trade to the Chargers. That was like a 2022 second rounder, 2023 sixth rounder. He's 31, year ended, right, with a foot injury, I think it was.
Yeah.
He looked all right still, so I'm kind of fine with that. Like, I think it's a good fucking,
a great
who gives
move,
a shit, like, second rounder,
what...
cool. Like, I mean, Chicago, you're sitting there going, talk about sunk costs. They're looking at it very clearly like, well, if we're not right at the fucking peak, we shouldn't be paying Khalil Mack. We don't need to be paying Khalil Mack. We'll get what we can for Khalil Mack, despite what we gave up to get him from the Raiders in the first place. Fuck it. I'm fine with it. I think it's great for the Chargers. I think it's good for the Bears. It's like one of those weird ones where you're like,
yeah. And it was, if you look at the weakness in the Chargers last year, they couldn't stop the run to save their fucking lives, right? So adding him was a fucking great move.
Nice. Kirk Cousins stays in mini, which is hilarious.
Fucking lol.
just to destroy Vikings' fucking souls for one more year.
Dude, there was some ridiculous stat. Obviously, it's come out all over the place. I think his record is like 59-59-2. Something like that in his career. And he's got $230 million worth of earnings.
Yeah, and he's going to hit like 300 mil like in his career. Yeah. It's like fucking chaos. You know how there's like value above replacement player, like VORP and stuff like that is like stats. There should literally just become like the stats should be value above Kirk Cousins, where it's like Kirk Cousins is going to be perfectly serviceable. You're going to hate him. Sometimes he'll do something all right. But like, as long as you're better than Kirk Cousins, you got a chance. If you're worse than Kirk Cousins, you're fucked. Right?
Well, around the NFL, used to have the Dalton scale, right?
Sure.
So it was Andy Dalton at Cincinnati was perfectly in the middle of the league. He was never going to take you anywhere, and he was never going to have you being the worst in the league. So having the Dalton scale, like this is at this stage of his career, this is where Kirk is. Because he's had Jefferson and fucking Diggs.
He's got
and
weapons.
Thielen,
and it's like they're still shit.
Fucking Cook. And we're still just standing there going, what the fuck is this offense? Anyway, we got one more year of it.
Love it. Amari Cooper was traded to Cleveland for fuck all.
Wow.
From Dallas,
fucking wow,
Cleveland. So, Amari Cooper's a weird one. It's one that you'll never. I tend to 100% steer clear of him in fantasy because he's like the sort of dude who has randomly like big years out of nowhere, and you're like, oh fuck, what was that? And then you're like, ah, contract year. Mm. Off we go, and sort of puts your other wide receivers in like a good light. Like he's just a strange sort of combo dude. That isn't really a game breaker, doesn't do crazy shit, but then on the odd occasion does a little bit of crazy shit. But he's not like a top flight one in my brain. And
He's not super fast, but he's got like a, you know, players out there who know a lot more than me call him one of the best route runners in the league, right? Now, that's great when you can get, if you use that to get separation, but if you don't and your quarterback can't put the ball where it needs to be, it doesn't really fucking help. Also, what doesn't help is when you're the team who traded a first to get you goes out and spends another first to draft your replacement.
Yep.
Where you have to spread the ball around. So that's one of those things. And then obviously Gallup, who they wanted to spend a bunch of money on as well. But, you know, I do get that their contract was ridiculous. They paid him 20 mil last year for, I think it was like 870 yards or something like that. Yeah. It was very far under 1,000 yards. So they had to do something about him. But a fifth, imagine being traded for a fifth just so they've got enough money to pay Zeke to be running back number two. Right? Pollard will take over from him at some point this year. Zeke's contract, they are that invested, talking about sunk cost. They've got, like, it is just It is absolutely no value to get rid of Zeke. No one's going to take on his contract. So they're kind of stuck with him for this year. So they are forced into moves. I think we touch on a bit more of the Dallas moves later, but it just comes across. They have to be seen as one of the losers in this period so far, and it's only just begun, because so many moves or so many pieces that were in place last year as their this is our year for the 75th year in a row, but this is our year, this is our deep run into the playoffs, they've not been able to retain a lot of them.
Yeah.
So,
Tough scenes in Dallas. And of course, that's like the Amari Cooper thing's always weird as well, because like still in my brain, it's like Alabama, Amari Cooper, number four pick, absolute fucking weapon. You know, just a couple of weird injuries here, fucked him up here and there. He's still right around the corner. And then you're like, he's been in the league for like 7-8 years. It's like, fuck, a long time.
Before you move on to your headline, which is your fucking headline, this is why you've left it last. There's one bit we've missed everywhere in the fucking notes, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Calvin Ridley getting suspended for a year.
Fuck.
Can't believe we missed that all the way through the notes.
Oh my God, that actually happened before all this, didn't it? That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that actually happened before all this, that it's wiped it from my brain, where Calvin Ridley gets suspended for a year.
So fucking long ago,
for
right?
For having an 8-game parlay. An 8-game multi. And it didn't, what was it, a couple of bets, whatever. He wasn't playing, he was injured anyway.
Nah.
There was still no real clarification whether or not he'd actually bet on the Falcons or whatever, but he's not playing. It's just these weird sort of fucky things. The problem was, it seemed like he was using some weird fucky bookie setup that went bust very quickly. And because of that, they have like all the records out and like they got probably purchased for fuck all and then got busted that way.
Yeah.
So tough scenes for Calvin Ridley. Also throws into stark relief just the sheer fucking shittiness of the NFL. Oh, you bet on some games while you're injured. You're suspended for a year. You can beat the shit out of this chick. It's two games. What the fuck, man? Domestic violence, nothing. Fucking a $1,500 bet for a millionaire when he's injured and it's an entire season. And like the jokes are obviously $1,500 cost him $12 million. That's the worst bet ever. It's like, fucking dumb. And like, obviously, as a sports person, you should know better than to be betting on your sport, dumb fuck. But at the same time, like, the sheer gall of the NFL to be like in bed with every sports betting agency literally in America. And they'd be like, but we're going to fire this guy. It's like can of worms vibes almost, right?
And, the other thing is much respect for the Falcons, right? Because apparently, a deal was very close with the Eagles. The Eagles were going to get that done. It was final stages of negotiation. And then all of a sudden, without warning, the Falcons have walked away from the table, walked away from the deal and couldn't say anything. And it was literally about they knew what was about to come out and couldn't in all good conscience do the fucking deal, knowing that he was going to go under, right? So
brutal.
Yeah, fucking hell.
Tough scenes. Anyway. So that happened, then all this happened, and then Tom Brady unretired.
Fuck my life.
Just unbelievable scenes. In the Jimmy household, it was a bit of celebration. I enjoyed it. I'm like, look, I understand it. If you have to spend a bit of time with the fans, you hang out.
What a fucking circus.
You're like, oh, God, I'm sick of this shit. I'm going back to work. I need to get out of the house. And more power to him. I do also feel like, Gaz, it's very much like Aaron Rodgers is suddenly getting all the headlines. He wins another MVP. He's out there making, you know, the $200 million reports, all that sort of shit. And Tom Brady's like, fuck this guy. And also, Tom Brady's like, I don't want to go into the Football Hall of Fame with fucking Ben Roethlisberger. This is bullshit. I'm going to play one more year. I'll end up like, there'll be a shit ton of Steelers fans when I'm like inducted and I'm going to hate it. But he unretires, basically puts out a big thing. And of course, like there's a weird bunch of fuckiness behind it as well, right? So to the point where he's under contract still, obviously, with the Bucks. And a lot of the talk so far this offseason in the previous month has been like, he might come back, but it'll be with the Niners. You know, he wants to play for his hometown team. I always tend to think that the hometown team shit is a bit overrated, but when it's Brady and he's already achieved literally fucking everything, he's already won the Super Bowl without Belichick. He's already won fucking seven all up. Nothing, like, no one can touch him, right? Like, this is how he rolls. And it does feel like he was kind of looking into it. He's like, oh, so can I just go play for the Niners? And the Bucks like, nah. He's like, ah. I really, really want to keep playing, though. So, look, to be honest, I still won't be that wildly surprised if either Bruce Arians gets fired because, like, he's been pretty weirdly fucking down on Brady for, like, the last, what, 12 months. Like, yeah. after they're on the Super Bowl, it's still kind of like, you know, we'll talk him up a bit. Otherwise, it's kind of like, you know, yeah, quarterback's just part of the system, man. It's like, Bruce, that's Tom Brady, bro. But the point being, it feels like there's like a weird bit of schism going on in the Bucs organization about Arians and about Brady. And Brady coming back before free agency starts is very clearly just like the bat signal to like free agents, to their existing dudes, etc. And Arians, it feels like it might be like a bit of a kick in the pants maybe for him. He's like, I'm going to come back. Well, Brady might be like, I'm going to come back one more year. I need to see you work your ass off. Or we could probably replace you because I'll tell you what, I'm Tom Brady. Or it could be Brady just going, cool, hey, Bucks Nation, what's going on? And the Bucks are like frantically working in the background to trade him to 49ers for like Jimmy G or something, which would be hilarious. So I don't think this is quite over. I think there's going to be a bit of other drama going on the Bucks. But I'm just excited to have him back. I love it.
It definitely will. It'll be interesting to see. Oh, I'm fucking not. I just thought we were going to have a break. I just a deep breath. You know, Breeze, Roethlisberger, you know, Manning already gone. Fucking Brady gone. It was like that, that mid-2000s, like, generation, that class that was, like, the top. He was the last one gone, right? So it was like, all right, the fresh, you know, our Herbs and our Joe and you know, all these guys coming through. It was what I am going to find amazingly interesting to watch is how this free agency, this situation plays out, because I think I talked at the end of last season about some of the graphs that I'd seen that the number of snaps potentially lost to free agency, unrestricted free agents. The Bucks were the highest in the league and it wasn't even close.
Yeah.
And it was the projected money to maintain or replace those snaps was also the highest in the league.
Yep.
Right? So once you've got Tom back, he's already lost his two starting guards from last year. I think one from retirement and one signed with the Bengals. You know, Gronk will come back. I mean, that's a fucking no-brainer now. Godwin's on a tag.
He's on the franchise tag. They've got an extra wide receiver now. They pick up Shaq Mason as well. Yeah, it's like one of those things where it did seem like the ideal time for Tom to dip and just go, right, I'll see you guys later. Fuck off.
Pew. Yeah, it was into the sunset. That's
but at the same time, 100%, he's looked like this is stepping on a little bit that we're going to do in a second, but 100% he's looked at it going, fuck that, I can win another Super Bowl. Like, fuck this noise, I'm out. So, speaking of, let's go through free agency. Let's fly through this because, I mean, it's just a bunch of numbers and names. JC Jackson goes to the Chargers. This is crazy. So, one of my beloved Patriots, like, he's been a fucking revelation. Undrafted rookie, came onto the Pats just out of nowhere, just worked his way through the roster, basically became one of the preeminent fucking corners in the NFL. It was amazing. Like, he and Matthew Judon last year, I just love that combo that of inside and out. It was just fucking beautiful. And then once they didn't come to terms, I'm like, oh, God, this sucks. It always happens, though. Belichick goes, I'm not going to pay you more than I think you're worth.
Yep.
And 5 years, 82, to be honest, like, JC ends up going, what's that, 16... odd mil a year, which is actually probably less than you'd have thunk. But at the same time, if that's not what the Pats were going to pay him in bill, I trust. But JC Jackson to the Chargers is a great move. Like, good job, Chargers. You're just rebuilding that defense a little bit on the fly. Give Herbs a fucking fighting chance. Do it. I love that.
Well, that's it. You know, the offensive weapons were great. They were in place. They've been able to retain a couple of key pieces there. And then adding those two, you know, someone... a seasoned veteran legend of the last 10, 15 years on the defensive line, and then an up-and-coming lockdown on the outside. Like, that's a fucking great move.
Yep. They kept Mike Williams as well for a pretty fucking hefty three-year $60 million deal, which is one of those ones where it's like, it was still $40 million guaranteed, which is Mike Williams. You're like, every fantasy owner out there has had Mike Williams at one point, right? And gone, wow, he's going to turn it on this week for me. And then it's like 5 weeks of disappointment. Then he has a massive week where he has like...
The time he's on your bench.
Absolutely smashes it. 40 points. You've sat him and he's just ruined and you hate fantasy. You're like, never again. Mike Williams is like probably top three dudes in the NFL right now of like, never fucking again am I fucking having this dude on my fantasy team. But now he's got 40 mil guaranteed. Good on him. The biggest one, though, for like the wide receivers is Christian Kirk to Jacksonville. 4 years, $72 million. That is a lot of money for a dude who's not like a top 10, 15, 20, 25, maybe receiver.
A lot of money for the slot, mate. He's not Wes Welker. It's a lot of money for the slot. It's fucking ridiculous. It's absolutely... I was actually more infuriated about this than anything else, which sounds like a complete overreaction.
I just got the idea of you punching a wall. Fucking Christian Kirk! Bang!
What the fuck, man? So, it's just turned the wide receiver market on its fucking head because this slot receiver who, let's face it, he was behind DeAndre Hopkins and AJ Green last year. So, playing in the slot. Never hit 1,000 yards in his life. All of a sudden, Dougie P needs some receiving weapons and T-Law needs someone to go to because apparently, you know, Chark, really? Like, what, Christian Kirk? Okay, sure. Let's pay him $72 million fucking dollars. But it also, when you've got Godwin, you've got Devontae Adams, who's saying no to the tag, Godwin, who's on a tag, you got Juju, who's still got to be picked up. There's a whole list of people who are due for extensions this year. They're all just looking at that, just going, fucking how good is this? Right? Yeah. Even a big play Slay. Darius Slay has made a comment saying, come out and gone, I'm going to start running routes because backpedaling isn't where it's at no more. And Jalen Ramsey came down and said, imagine how much we would be paid if we're locking down these guys. We should be paid if we're locking down these guys at 72 mil. Like, yeah, fucking nuts, man. Anyway, and they weren't finished. Like, we'll talk about a few more of their about those Jags moves a little bit later. But
there's another one. Evan Ingram goes to the Jags for one year, nine mil.
Yeah. So like, on top of that, they went on a fucking spending spree. So Evan Ingram, let's be honest, Giants fans aren't going to be too sad to see him go. But then on top of that, there was what are the rest of my comments down there? They picked up Brandon Scherf from the football team. They picked up Zay Jones from the Raiders. So they've picked up an very experienced offensive lineman and three receiving targets in the first 2-3 days to give Trevor Lawrence. But they've overpaid. They probably could have let the top guys go, like your Juju and your Shark and all those guys, and then left your Christian Kirks floating around a little bit later and picked them up as dollar dazzlers, you know? But, you know, they've overpaid and so be it.
Jacksonville, got to make a splash, bro, in that horrible, horrible pool. A couple of QBs. Trubisky goes to Pittsburgh. Kind of love that, just like as a backup. In case of emergency, we don't know what the fuck we're actually going to end up with. Sort of survival plan.
He'll be starting games this year. It's not like he's, like, you know, the backup role that he had previously, where you've got an established starter. I think they'll definitely do that.
The classic, unless they get like a big name out of fucking nowhere, it's going to be the 100% like, Trubisky may have won the job coming out of training camp. Teddy Bridgewater goes to Miami. Another nice little one as well. I actually really like that one because it's like Miami aren't entirely sure what the fuck they're doing. And Teddy's solid. We all know that. But it's not going to make any waves, whatever. The other crazy one for receivers is Michael Gallup. 5 years, $57 million, 23 of that's guaranteed. This is the Michael Gallup did his ACL.
Yeah.
In the last game of the season and still got paid. So us sort of bemoaning that, it's like, oh, that's a bit of a rough one. At least Dallas are like, oh, fuck, we're going to pay him anyway. Got to appreciate that. And
yeah, look, they came out at the end of the season, and even with that injury, they said that in the off season there was a couple of key pieces that were priorities for them. Tank Lawrence reworking his deal, which they got done, that was one of them. And getting Michael Gallup signed was a priority. It obviously became a little bit more of a priority. The Amari move was not a shocker, but I think they thought, you know, they were going to be able to do the deal with Cedric Wilson as well, and have him as that replace that third part of that trio. And then he's just gone, fuck yeah, and headed off to the Dolphins as well. So the Dolphins are a sneaky making a splash. No pun intended. Fuck it, pun intended.
on the back of your hand. Fuck you. Dolphins. It's,
you know,
make
Teddy and
splash.
Who else did they steal?
Insert Jimmy laughing. Boom.
Didn't they steal? They stole a running back from someone. Who did they steal?
They got Chase Edmonds from Arizona.
Yeah, that's right. Look at Edmonds and Teddy and then Cedric Wilson. They're not, you know, bank breakers, and they're not like headline grabbers, but still good moves, right?
Yep.
So
good shit. But that is a good number for a dude who just tore an ACL. So happy days for him. Tyrod Taylor goes to the Giants to back up Danny Dimes. Zach Ertz, big old Zachy Ertz, re-signed with the Cards.
3 years, they're pretty happy. Like, I love his feet. I'd love to see that guy. And as much as I don't like him not being on the air, I'd love to see him do well. He's found a nice little home there.
Javaris Ward leaves KC to go to the Niners for 3 years, 40-odd mil. And when I say 40-odd, I mean 40.5. Ward was pretty good, you know, outside. And you're like, cool, fine. It's a lot of money, though. But the Niners, holy shit, just adding to that treasure trove, I reckon they've got. Russell Gage goes to the Bucs from Atlanta, 3 years, 30 mil. That's a big one for me, I think.
They were keen. Atlanta were definitely keen on re-signing that one, too. Because now, if you look at what they've lost...
Look at another.
What they've lost at wide receiver in the last 2 years, right? You know, losing Julio, Kelvin, Ridley. And now Russell, right? Like, that's fucking huge.
Unbelievable.
You've got Kyle Pitts and fucking Matty Ryan. And the rumors of them trying to make a move... We touch on it in a bit, but about them trying to make a move on Deshaun Watson to throw to fucking who?
Love it.
Anyway.
J.D. McKissic goes from the Bills to Washington. From Washington.
Yeah,
sorry. I was like, wait a minute. He wasn't on fucking... What am I talking about? He wasn't on the Bills. That's weird. Brain just threw that back at me. It was great. It was like a pretty cheap deal. That's like the classic cheap running back deal. 2 years, 7 mil. But one of those ones where... It felt like he was going to have like an interesting year in Washington. He kind of did, right? Up and down. Big defense move was Marcus Williams from New Orleans to Baltimore. 5 years, 70 mil. That's one of the biggest ones,
that's huge.
I feel.
Yep.
Just because Baltimore just sort of do this on the odd occasion, right? They just go one big splash and then boom, you're like, fucking hell, this defense is insane. Feels like they just do it every couple of years. Randy Gregory. Randy goes to Denver. 5 years, 70 mil. 28 of that's guaranteed. Hilarious vibes.
This was fucking amazing. This is the one that I woke up to this morning, and I'm like, man, if I didn't hate Dallas so much, I'd feel so sorry for their offseason. this was a done deal. This was literally to the point where the Dallas, you can still see screenshots of it, of the Dallas Cowboys posting on their social media about how Gregory had re-signed, about the deal that had done, blah, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden, the next meme is the Denver Broncos coming out with surprise. So apparently, as the story goes so far, Jerry Jones was super keen on getting this deal done. He got personally involved in the negotiation. It was done. It was agreed. Gregory had agreed to less money than was on the table from Denver. After that, somehow, some bright spark has tried to adapt some of the wording in the contract. Gregory didn't agree with it. Leads to a disagreement. He walks out and accepts the deal for more money at Denver. So, yeah, on top of that, they've one of their offensive linemen has gone somewhere else. Lael Collins has been told that he can seek a trade. Lost Gregory. lost some receivers, still stuck with Zeke. And what's Dak's nickname now? Black Kirk Cousins is what has been referred to in some of I didn't make that up, mate. That's what's floating around. And it's amusing.
I don't know. It's a bit tough for Dak. You know, there was moments there at the start of this season where it's like, there you go. I feel
he's
like
on
the
fire, right?
The $20 I put in to win MVP actually looked pretty good, and then
looked
injuries.
Okay.
Boom. Elsewhere, DJ Chark goes to the Lions from Jacksonville, which Detroit and Jacksonville just love fucking trading wide receivers, I reckon.
But 10 mil for like...
1 year, 10 mil. It's like, that's a classic like wide receiver. Just, we need
but
something.
Just,
fuck it.
They've paid, how can you pay Christian Kirk 72 and not...
Not DJ Chark,
the 1 year
10 mil.
I just don't understand the maths. I just don't get it.
It's all that Jacksonville water. I'll tell you that much. You go in that pool one time, it's going to rot your brain. CJ Uzuma goes to the Jets from the Bengals. 3 years, 24. Not bad. As mentioned, Chase Edmonds.
That just screams chasing money, doesn't it?
100%. Uzuma's like, yeah, wait.
Who goes from Bengals to fucking...
Yeah, we just made the Super Bowl. I've got a fucking amazing goddamn gun young quarterback. Wait, the Jets want to pay me more? Hello, New York, baby! Kind of vibes.
Yeah.
Chase Edmonds, as mentioned, Miami, 2 years, 14 mil. From Arizona, Shaq Mason was traded to the Bucks for a fifth. We'll talk about that again in a second. Youngway Koo sticks with the Falcons for big money for a kicker. 5 years, 25 mil. And obviously, as mentioned, like Mason Crosby, they're still trying to figure out that deal as well for him. Nick Folk came back to the Pats as well. Some half-decent money for him. But Youngway Koo, like, that's actually a shit ton of cash for a fucking kicker. You've added Hassan Reddick to
Hassan Reddick made it to the Eagles. You know, he's from the Cards. What, he's 23 and a half sacks in the last 2 years. Derek Barnett was a failure for the Eagles. He was going to get shipped off. And Brandon Graham's in his last couple of years. So we needed someone there. 3 years, 45 mil. Got to be happy with that. One of the things we didn't touch on, because some of the moves are sneaky good, but probably not some big names. But while the Bengals didn't make a shit ton of moves, they've definitely gone out and targeted what they knew was their weakness. So they've gone after their the offensive line, and definitely started to what they pulled from the Bucks, guard from the Bucks, and someone else whose name escapes me, and I'm trying to find it here. But anyway, yeah. So investing in what was their weakness in the Super Bowl, obviously, right? Good moves ahead, sneaky good moves from some teams who developed a weakness.
Nice.
Should we talk about the best of what's still to come? There's only the first 2 days, Jimmy.
It is
two
weird, right?
Games.
And like we're sort of doing
this. A lot of good players out there.
We're doing this after the first flush, so when we come back and we do our, draft look ahead, free agency final sort of wrap, winners and losers, etc. We'll have a lot more to talk about, I guess, at the same time. But who else is out there, Gaz? Who are you liking? Who do you want to see land somewhere?
I've just gone through some names about, the start of the headline of what's going to be to come, and what will no doubt have the most headlines in the next couple of days is Sean Watson is down to three teams, reportedly. It's down to the Saints, Browns, and Panthers. And the reason it is down to that is because the Texans have pre-approved the draft pick, the package.
The trade package.
I think it's what? Was it six? They wanted six top flight assets, right? Which obviously is some mixture of players and first, second rounders. So obviously, with that coming out to the Browns, which we touched on but didn't really go far into, Baker Mayfield coming out and making a post about, I don't know what the future's going to hold, but this is what's happening. But, clearly they've, in terms of the bat signal, what the Browns have done by, they've released Landry. They've gone and invested still in the wide receiver position. But by chasing hard and being one of the final three, they're the only one of the final three that doesn't have that has an established quarterback, right? So pretty much, Baker knows that he is part of that package. Like, you're not keeping them both. So he's going to be part of that.
So you're trying to tell me that Sam Darnold isn't the actual answer in North Carolina?
Not.
You're killing
that
me.
Experiment fucking went through the window. So look, it's come down to he's invested. I think a meeting was today or yesterday with the Browns. So Watson's going and meeting with all three. Then he gets to decide because of that amazing no trade clause. But I'm pretty happy that we're out of it. I'm also pretty happy if he stays in the AFC because I'd hate for after all of that year and all of the dodginess that he's gone through to come and be destroying teams in the NFC. But then moving on to the players who are still outstanding. So in terms of the offensive line position, Armstead from the Saints, he'll be a good combination along pretty much any of the offensive line. Pass rushers. If you're after a pass rusher, this is fucking great free agency period. We've got Von Miller, Chandler Jones, Clowney, Za'Darius Smith, Akeem Hicks, Melvin Gordon, Calais Campbell,
Melvin Ingram.
Justin Houston. Melvin Gordon's a fucking
running back.
Melvin Gordon, right, yeah. Sorry, I'm reading my own notes. Fucking illiterate this time of night. Justin Houston and Jerry Hughes. If you had, that's a good class, and there's already been a few that have been taken off the board as well. So a few to go in there. Receivers, you've still got Allen Robinson, Juju, OBJ, Gronk, Landry now. And I've left off that Antonio Brown guy, who we don't know. He's possibly going to come back this year. Then in the secondary, you've still got Steph Gilmore, doesn't have a job. The Honey Badger, he's been let go. And Casey Hayward in the secondary is always a nice little piece. And then in terms of linebackers, in terms of head-scratching moves that the Jags have made, they've gone and invested a whole bunch of money and then let Miles Jack go, like the personality of their defense and leading tackler of last year. And obviously, as mentioned before, we got Bobby Wagner. So if your team's been quiet in the first, 36 hours, don't stress. There's still a lot of fucking moves
Wagner's
to be made.
Wagner's 32 and he's that's pretty old, I guess, but at the same time, he's still been fucking good. And it's he's been pretty durable. Fuck yeah, give me some Bobby Wagner. I'm just sitting there going, can we just get one old vet for a bit of money?
Yeah, if you had a linebacking core with a couple of young guys who needed to settle in, and if you were going to invest in the draft and you wanted a veteran to run them, be the quarterback of your defense and do all that, you could do a lot fucking worse than Bobby Wagner at 32.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's pretty good. There's a lot of talent out there, as you point out. I like this. And that's kind of the thing, though. But I think we've sort of taken a bunch of the big news and kind of wrapped it. That's all good. And the rest of it, it'll all flatten out, as it did last year. And, we'll sort of come out of this with the winners and losers in a couple of weeks or around the draft, whatever. But before we do that, let's do some YNRs. And I'll tell you what, YNRs brought to you by Manscaped. Gaz, you know what's on at the moment? Bit of March Madness. It's a bit awesome. And today's show is brought to you by Manscaped.com. And not everyone can have the perfect bracket when it comes to college basketball, but you can have the perfect set of balls this tournament season with Manscaped. That's right, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have just launched the Ultra Premium Collection, Gaz. You get the Total Championship Hygiene Routine. You'll be there sitting there sweating out the games. But you can make sure you lather up head to toe. There's all-in-one skin and hair care kit to make your body and balls have just basically smelling Final Four fresh. That's what it's all about. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com. Use that code STRAYA and you'll get 20% off free shipping. It's a Cinderella story we can all get behind. I'll tell you that much. You don't need to be dropping any glass slippers. You don't need to be being a 16 seed. You just got to use some fucking skin products. I'll tell you that much.
Jesus.
Yeah. So you've got the lawnmower and everything when it comes to your actual trimming stuff, but you've got to look after the rest of it, Gaz. So you got the Manscaped Premium Deodorant. It's not for your balls. It's for your stanky armpits. Dries clear. It's aluminium free. Smells like their signature scent. The hydrating body moisturizer, which is awesome. You've got tats, I've got tats. This shit is unreal. Spray it on. It's great. Hydrating body moisturizer. Body wash in the shower. Off you go.
I don't have tattoos on my balls, though.
Nah, not yet.
Can we use that everywhere else?
Yeah, cool. You can use it wherever you want, mate. The 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, and you get a free gift of a three-pack set of lip balm, which is really good. I don't know if you've used it yet, but it's sick. So that's four products and a gift inside the Ultra Premium Collection. What a score. Go check it out. They're all cruelty-free, paraben-free, vegan-friendly, and dye-free. It's the best ingredients with zero compromise. So go check it out. It is the Ultra Premium Collection with Manscaped. So 20% off and free shipping with the code STRAYER at Manscaped. That's 20% off for free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that code STRAYER. Make sure you call a Manscaped this tournament season, or your bracket won't be the only thing that's busted. Because it'll be your balls, Gaz. It'll be your balls.
My balls.
Your balls will be busted.
Balls busted. Yeah.
Right, quick bunch of yeah nahs to finish off this show. That's it. Like, we've got nothing else after this. So did Tom come back just because he saw the state of the NFC? Yeah, nah. I'm going to say yeah. I'm going to take that one. Yeah, he did.
Mate, yeah, it could be. Because if you think of some moves that are still yet to be made, we still think Jimmy G's going to be shipped. There's a few sketchy second-year quarterbacks who are going to be coming through. Like, that division, Matt Ryan, those no receivers, questions in the Panthers and the Saints.
100%.
Fuck it, mate. It's at least winning the division.
I can walk to a division win. We're in the playoffs. I'm basically, all I've got to do is beat Green Bay and I'm in the fucking Super Bowl. Like, what are we doing here? Rusty. So Rusty Wilson goes from Seattle, goes to Denver. Ciara is probably just like, seriously, Russell, we're now just at altitude. This is fucked. But at the same time, he just made the AFC West an absolute fucking gauntlet, right? Like, it's hilarious. Yeah, nah.
Fucking brutal. But the funny thing is, someone's got to fucking lose that division. And they're going to be a decent quality. Like, I mean, the Raiders look like fucking horrendous in that division now. Like, they look like the perennial, like, losers. And they're not terrible. They're just in a very, very staunch division now, right?
Someone has pointed out, like, the Derek Carr is the best worst quarterback of a division ever.
Yeah.
Like, which makes sense.
Yeah, that's fair.
Does Carson work out in Washington, Gaz? Yeah, nah.
Nah, honestly, I don't think he does. So, I touched on it basically early before, but there's some additional stories that have come out now that the... you know, the washes come over Philly. And one of them is during the playoff run in 2017, he got stepped up to by Darren Sproles, of all people, because the injured players were sitting around and Carson was admitted that he was having a difficult time watching the Eagles have success without him. And made comments about, well, we wouldn't have got it this far if I hadn't played. Those sort of things that just made it about the me. And then when Jalen Hurts comes in, he obviously turned to water. Then goes to, if anyone's going to turn him around, like if you go back to our beginning of last season, Frankie Reich was going to be the one to fix him. If anyone can do it, it's him. Now, the stories aren't coming out about his playing. What's the rumors that are coming out around the Colts building is that he was uncoachable. He didn't deal well with the hard coaching about being tough and being told he was wrong. He didn't play within the strategy and he didn't enamor himself to the rest of the players, right? And people weren't drawn to him. So with all that, if they're not going to go to war for you, what's the point? Now, Washington, the home and battleground of dysfunction that is fucking Washington, as the team that's going to fix him under Dan Snyder, just fucking nut.
Yeah.
There's environments that could do it, right? Like, you know, a player's coach, like someone like Andy Reid may be able to turn someone around.
You know
like
where he'd be awesome? Nashville. Give me some Tennessee Titan Carson Wentz. Him and Vrabes. He'd just be out there. He'd get that Tennessee sunshine. He'd go hunting. He'd go down the
hunting.
Down on the lazy boy on the river. Just fucking hang out. He'd love Nashville. He's like, he spent too much time in places like Philly and Washington and even Indianapolis, which is like, you know, Midwest and shit, but it's boring as fuck. Give me some rugged Tennessee outback vibes for Carson. Yep. Off we go. Tannehill, on your bike, mate. Let's get Carson in there. But yeah, I agree with you. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah.
This is a big one. So out of all this, we've just talked about a whole range of shit. The Chargers going all in with their D with JC and Khalil Mack. You think about Denver trading for Rusty. Did anyone actually really vault themselves into contention so far with their moves? Yeah, no.
I think Denver definitely did, right? Denver have invested. They just didn't have a solid offense. And if you think about Russ, we didn't touch on it before, but Russ was himself before the finger injury. And the doctors said, and it came out, the reports were that it was going to take 6 to 8 weeks to heal. He came back in 3 to 4 and played like shit for 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Right? So if you used it on the timeline, and then the last couple of weeks, they kind of came good. So if you assume that all it was him coming back from an injury and that team was destined to fail anyway, well, you know what? That old Russ could be fucking... They could be on song here. And, you know, they've got the receivers there, you know, like Sutton and Patrick and Jerry Jeudy.
Fuck yeah.
Right? Like, you know, and a decent running game and a solid defense, right? So all of a sudden, with that rusty sheriff's badge added into the mix, they're all of a sudden, like, therefore I can consider them a contender, right? I think there was a few more. There are a few more weaknesses on that Chargers defense that probably they need to fill, but it's a good starting spot, right? Like, they're not an instant, but also you've got to look at the fact that some high-priced blue chip elements of, say, the Chiefs defense have gone as well, right? Like, some of those have moved on. How will they be replaced? You know, things might revert to the mean.
This is what we've always said, Gaz. It's so fucking hard to win a Super Bowl. And when
there's a lot of luck. There's a lot of...
And when we're counting how many Super Bowls Pat Mahomes is going to win, yeah, you're not taking into account like the fact that their defense just can fall apart in one offseason, similar to their offensive line falling apart in one season, getting fixed another year, whatever. And it's hard to win a fucking Super Bowl. And here we are.
Everything's got to come together, right?
Yeah. I feel like you really skipped over Jacksonville, though. The Christian Kirk move. I mean, Jesus.
Dougie P. I want Dougie P to succeed. I want him to prove that, you know, with Carson falling apart, the offense was fucking stale as fuck when Dougie P got out. But I fucking really liked him as a personality and as a player's coach. And I think I want him to kind of succeed in Jacksonville and just at least make them a contender. I don't think it's going to be a lot of years before they win anything significant. But, you know, making some moves, they've at least shown that they are willing to invest behind him. It's just as long as it's money well spent and not just for the sake of spending money.
I think you've also skipped over how Tom Brady came back from retirement and basically made the Bucs a championship contender again out of nowhere. Literally, odds makers, they had no QB plan, they had nothing. And then Tom Brady comes back and it's like, oh, wait, no, we're good again. Off you go.
They suspended all betting.
They did.
Hours while they recalculated based on this new fucking...
It's like more than half their odds. It's fucking crazy. Final one. I don't know about you, but I'm weirded out by this. So this is much more of a do you agree with me? Yeah, nah. You weirded out by teams moving on from like pretty decent vets, all pros, etc. for fuck all in return. Like Amari Cooper, Shaq Mason, etc. Is this the ramsification of the league? Basically, if teams going, right, fuck it. We don't really need those draft picks anyway. If we're going to trade away, we'll trade for vets. The flip side of like teams like Dallas and New England moving on from those dudes is very much like, well, we can just replace this person cheaper. That's fine.
Yep.
I get that. But at the same time of like other teams just going, fuck it, draft capital. We'll get these all pro vets. Who cares? And you saw the Rams do it. It worked. They won the Super Bowl. Like, good on them. So what do you reckon? You know?
Yeah. To an extent. But then there's other ones that just don't fucking make sense. Like going and trading for Amari Cooper and then just cutting Landry. Right? Like, you're not filling gaps at that point, right? You're just replacing one for another. This is after you allowed OBJ to walk out the door because he wasn't happy in the game. You haven't really changed the strategy on how you're going to make that pass game any better. You're just replacing one personality for another. There is confusing moves like the Honey Badger. I mean, he's the personality of that defense, and you're fucking letting that go, and you're replacing him with someone who you're paying significantly more. You know, the Eagles will most likely make that move on Fletcher Cox. They'll probably trade Fletcher Cox, which is disappointing. And, you know, he's, you know, six Pro Bowls and all this sort of stuff. But you get to that point where they're going to be looking at trying to get a package and get something while there is still value for that person, which is against what you're asking. But but obviously there's that point where you go, all right, we know that this person's almost at the tipping point. They've got 1 or 2 years left on their contract. We need to get some value for them. Who out there is missing that one insert piece here? And that's the ramification, right?
Yeah.
Let's insert.
It's the Chargers going for Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson,
correct.
Right?
And yeah, exactly. Exactly. There's that element of it. But then there's obviously the element that is the complete head scratching where you're just swapping one for another. You know what I mean? Like,
well, the name I didn't throw in there as well is like obviously the Russell Wilson trade for Denver, right? Like that's the ramification of like, fuck it. We've got a half decent D. We've got weapons already. If we bring in a half decent quarterback, like who gives a fuck about the price? Like,
it makes
us relevant right now. We're going to be good. We'll be good for at least as long as like the rest of his prime. Like, off we go.
Yeah, we were a 500 team with no one at the most important position on the side, right?
Like, I mean, so we spent the entire year just going, imagine if Denver had like any predictability or consistency, that'd be fucking terrifying. 100%. And they never had it. And now, at least on one side of the ball, you vaguely understand what they are. Whereas last year, you just had fucking no clue.
Fucking no idea.
So, yeah. Right, real quick, two little bits. Gaz's draft vibe is going to happen just before the draft when we do that show, or maybe after the draft. We don't know what we're going to do before or after. You probably don't need to hear our picks before the draft. We might do it after and do a big winners and losers out of the off season. I think we did that last year. It was fun. But the two last bits we want to do here. Good bloke of the week. Bloke you want to buy a beer. Jason Kelce, back on the Eagles.
Yeah, mate. On top of that, went out and sang the national anthem at the Sixers game the other night.
Loved it.
Yeah, Kelce, that was the biggest thing for us. We had no one to replace him, but also he's the heart and soul of that team, right? Like everything from his speech from the Super Bowl, and I've said it before, if you haven't seen him dressed in costume, like drunk as fuck, making a speech after the Super Bowl parade, it is definitely worth a hilarious watch. But like, yeah, him coming back, there was all the stories and there was all the, we don't really have many headlines going into this offseason. So actually having fucking Nikki Sriracha rang in, say, WIP, I think it was, that Jason Kelce was a guest host on the sports show the other day. Nikki Sriracha rang in and asked him if he was coming back. In interviews previously, Nikki Sriracha said, yeah, I'm ordering kegs and I'm getting sent to Jason's house. And then Jason posted a video on the Eagles Reels the other day of him drinking a beer and then coming in and saying, I'm retiring from the WIP morning show because I've got to focus on the Eagles because I'm having too much fun. And I was like, fuck. Who would have thought that you would be so happy about your center returning? That's fucking genius.
I love it. There's literally the bloke you want to buy a beer. It was already bought for him.
I made a post on the Eagles fucking on one of the Eagles pages of like, you fucking let the guy, like, he's such a fatherly dude, you let him raise your kids, but you also know that if you went out for a beer with him, fuck, you're gonna wake up in 3 days.
Yeah, 3 days later, it's
floor.
Like, why are we in Wyoming?
What the fuck just happened?
Yeah.
Fuck, I'd have a beer with that guy.
And anyway. The last one is Old Mate No Mates. Very clearly the bloke who paid $500,000 for Tom Brady's last, that's inverted commas, touchdown ball. Mere hours, Gaz. Mere hours.
Fucking hours.
Before Tom came back and said, nah, you know what? Actually, fuck it. Giselle's right in my ass here. My shitty fucking kids are annoying me. I'm out of here. I'm going back to work. That's a tough one for Old Mate No Mates, the bloke who bought the last touchdown ball. Because just imagine that. It's like, oh, hey, Greg, what's that ball you got there on that mantle? Oh, well, you see, that's Tom Brady's last. Sorry. That was the touchdown ball that he threw in a playoff loss to, I don't know, Green Bay or some shit. Fuck. And away you go. Like, it wasn't Green Bay. Who'd they lose to?
The Rams.
The Rams, that's right.
And the reason I know that. Game.
Brutal.
The reason I know that is because the happiest man that Tom Brady was coming back was Jalen fucking Ramsey. Because right up until that point, he was known as blowing the coverage on Tom Brady's last touchdown pass.
Nice.
And now he's come out and gone, thank fuck, throw that last touchdown pass to someone else.
Nice one. All right, and that's it for the off-season wrap so far for NFL Australia.
So fucking far. Could we not do it? I'm about to go to the Netherlands and drink beers in Amsterdam for 2 weeks. Can we? Can nothing happen in the next 2 weeks, please?
Yeah, that'll probably happen. You'll be right.
Yeah.
But what we'll do, we'll probably come back after, either before or after the draft. We'll let you know.
Yeah.
Either way, we're popping up here and there in the off-season, you know, do all our things. Yell a bit. Hang out, drink some beers. In the meantime, drag us a follow on Facey, Twitter, IG. Go check out Eagles Straya. I think you can follow Pat Straya as well on the old Facey. Go check that out. Chuck us a rating review on your podcast app. Big thanks to House Hats for the intro and outro song. Go check out them. They're amazing. And get around manscaped.com. Use that code Straya, get 20% off. Get that also that awesome ultra premium collection. Like, it is awesome. I don't know if you've used it that much, Gaz, but delicious. Tell you that much. Get around NBA Australia. NBA Australia show. It's daily. Right in the nuts and guts of the NBA season at the moment. AFL's just started back up, but NBA Australia is going fucking strong. So go check that out. Gaz, you got any plugs?
Mate, this week is actually quite big for the Ramshackle Army. Obviously, St. Pat's Day tomorrow. Get your beers, get your whiskeys. We'll be playing two sets down in Murphy's in Geelong. So if you listen to this on Thursday morning, by this point, by the time you're listening to it, we'll be already there. Sing a piss.
Get to Geelong.
And if you're in, Port Melbourne on Saturday, we're doing a free afternoon show at Earl's Barbecue. Outdoors. Jimmy, barbecue, beer, music, outdoors, in the sun. Free. We just thought we'd do something a bit fun before I fuck off over to Europe and try not to get bombed by Putin for 2 weeks.
Nice
one. So, yeah, Big Girls Barbecue in Port Melbourne or Murphy's Geelong. Both shows are free. Come down, have a beer with your mate, Gaz.
Sweet. I might come on Saturday. That'll be fun.
Yeah.
Bring the squid, mate. There we go.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Well, we'll see you when we seize you, dickheads. How's that sound? Good?
Mate, that podcast that we're going to crank through in half an hour. Fucking an hour and 10 minutes later, we're still going. So
that's the NFL Australia half hour. Emergency. That's how we say. Love it. All right, we'll see you when you see you, dickheads.
All right, see yous.
Later.
The flesh is dripping from my bones.